From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, more Idaho Matters right now. As thousands of students and thousands more teachers and staff head back to school in Blaine County this year, one thing won't be welcome in any classrooms: cell phones. Jim Foudy, the Blaine County School District Superintendent, says this was a very calculated decision and is liable to be controversial. School starts tomorrow for the county, and Foudy sat down with Morning Edition host George Prentice to talk about the new cell phone restriction and about the district's efforts to help secure affordable housing for some of its employees. Let's take a listen.
I think a lot of people are interested in hearing more about your district's restriction on cell phones.
Sure.
And remind us, there has to be much more to this than just a good idea. There is data behind that decision, yes?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's not so much the cell phone, right? It's not so much about making phone calls or receiving an occasional text message. It's the fact that cell phones today are smartphones. They have applications, they have social media, they have games, et cetera. And for young students, when they interact with those smartphones, there's a dopamine response in the brain. And it can create issues for us. Additionally, the posts that are made on social media sometimes cause social and emotional challenges for our students. So we're restricting the use of cell phones in schools specifically, which is really, when you look at it, the amount of time that students are in school, if you say students are in school about 1,000 hours a year relative to the entire calendar year, and I'm talking about a 24/7, 365 calendar, we only have students in our buildings about 13% of the year. So that time is sacred, it's precious, it's rare. And what we're hoping to do is maximize the student's ability to engage in the lessons and the instruction that's being provided by the teacher in the classroom.
Is it fair to say that if you haven't gotten calls yet, you'll get calls in the coming days from other districts? I'm certain they're going to be keeping a close watch on this and ask, well, how do you make this possible?
How do you make it possible? I mean, you know, we've seen lots of examples of teachers that have made it possible over the years, both in my former district and here in Blaine County. Simple things like a shoe rack that hangs on the door with numbers on it, where students can kind of check their cell phone at the door. Hmm. They still have it in line of sight. It's just not on their person during class. You know, lots of solutions to that. Because this was a policy change, and we have a public comment system that allows the public to, you know, enter written responses to the board. We did receive several comments about this policy change, and with the exception of, I think, one or two, all of the feedback from families was favorable, wow, supportive, and to some extent relieved. Several comments said, you know, this should have been done years ago.
Okay. Affordable housing is an issue just about everywhere. But we have been hearing about what you want to do specifically for your workers in your district.
Yeah, it's a big deal. You know, if you think about the evolution of hiring as a new staff member, a new teacher, we advertise a position for several weeks. We screen the applications. We select applicants for interviews. We interview, we identify a top candidate, we extend an offer, and then the candidate at that point tries to find a place to live. And I can't tell you how many times candidates have declined the position, which then we go to our number two person and they decline because they've already accepted another job. So it puts us in a position where we're not able to attract and retain the highest quality candidates. We have one house right now that was built by Wood River High School students, and mm-hmm. that house is being rented to a staff member and his family. So we have policies and procedures in place to kind of prioritize which staff member are you going to rent this unit to. And then quite literally just yesterday, we broke ground on the Bullion Street property, which will have a total of five units when it's completed. And then we have plans to build two units next to the Atkinson's Market in Haley and another single family home over by Wood River Middle School.
I've got just a few minutes left. What is, help me out with this, what you call the professional learning community?
Sure. Yeah, so professional learning communities have been around since the 1990s, and they essentially ask just a few simple questions. What do we want students to know and be able to do? How are we going to know when they do gain that skill or knowledge? What do we do when students don't gain the skill or knowledge? And what do we do when they do gain it, perhaps before the rest of their peers? And it's an ongoing cycle of collaboration. It's in, you know, every teacher that teaches a certain discipline in a school district collaborating with one another, and then building level teams working together in what Bob Marzano refers to as a safe and collaborative culture, which is safe in the sense that it's okay for me to make a mistake and to learn from you. It's okay for my students not to perform as high as yours, and to have a conversation about what did you do differently and how can I, you know, improve my practices so my students are more successful. To borrow a quote from Dr. Wayne Callender, we need systems that support both students and staff. So we are humble students of the research and best practices because, frankly, we don't have time to experiment on the kids. And then, you know, this really piqued my curiosity this summer. I heard that there's absolutely no evidence of a high-performing school district in which teachers work in isolation. Every single example of a high-performing school district involves something like a PLC. These have been around since the 1990s. The research is strong, and so we are launching this initiative. We're all in.
So what would be different then?
So one of the things that's different is we modified our calendar, and we have an early release on Wednesdays that starts on September 13th, in which teachers from Cary to Ketchum will collaborate virtually on identifying what we call the essential standards. Those are the standards, what you want students to know and be able to do, that essentially you're going to teach to mastery, and summer regression is not going to impact the student. They're going to truly have it to mastery. And then they'll develop the formative assessments that measure whether or not students obtain that skill or that knowledge. And then in 3-week increments, sometimes 4, they'll review the results and collaborate and talk about it and plan the next essential standard unit.
That was Jim Foudy, superintendent of the Blaine County School District, speaking to our Morning Edition host, George Prentice. The district's 3,300 students go back to school without their cell phones tomorrow. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Want to learn how to be a master of business without going back to school? Listen to the Planet Money MBA. No suits, no PowerPoints, just the secrets of business school delivered straight to your ears. Every Wednesday till Labor Day on Planet Money from NPR.